Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to the book of Luke. The title of our lesson today, or our message, Your Names Are Written in Heaven. I tell you what, there's no better place to have your name written down than in heaven. Let's stand together, if you would. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, in this verse number 20, we find that we are to rejoice. And may I say this, I hope you've come this morning with a joy in your heart. Now, I'm not saying you may not have a burden in your heart, but that doesn't mean you can't have a joy in your heart. I'm going to tell you, at 7 o'clock this morning, when I looked out the window, there was suddenly a burden on this preacher's heart. But there is still a joy that we can gather together and sing the songs of praise and look into the holy word of God. And if you would, verse 12, Luke 10, verse 12, but I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. And as we realized last week, those cities that rejected the message of Christ. And it'll be more tolerable for Sodom than for that city. Woe unto thee, Chorazin. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works had been done in Tyre and Sidon, which have been done in you, they had a great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you, for that city that rejected the message of Christ. And thou, Capernaum, which are exalted to heaven, shall be thrust down to hell. He that heareth you heareth me, and he that despiseth you despiseth me, and he that despiseth me despiseth him that sent me. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and on scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for that thought that if we are a believer, if we have accepted thee as Savior, our names are written down in heaven. Lord, give us strength today. Give us victory. May the Spirit move and convict. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Last week we concluded with the woes to Chorazin and Bethsaida and Capernaum. They would all be judged more harshly than Tyre and Sidon and even Sodom. Woe. In the thesaurus, it has to do with sorrow or anguish or distress, grief, misery, pain, affliction. In the dictionary, it is to express grief, regret or distress. Regret. Those cities will regret because they did not accept the message of Jesus Christ. Isaiah 6:5 says, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Folks, we live in a world of people who have unclean lips. The vulgarity is unbelievable, even in the mouths of women today. I'm amazed at what I hear out of teenagers and the vulgarity. And yet I believe, as a born-again Bible believer, that language should not be part of our vocabulary. To do so is to dishonor the Lord. Isaiah 5:20 and 23 says, Woe unto them that call evil good, and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter, which justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. And we live in a world that does call evil good. We do live in a world that calls good evil. that replaces darkness as parties go on to 1 and 2 and 3 in the morning. And we find that instead of sleeping and getting up in the morning to work and do that which is right, they've spent the night in parties that are ungodly. And we do live in a time in which people are taking away the righteousness of the righteous. The reason why it is that Chorazin and Bethsaida and Capernaum had the witness and testimony of our Lord Jesus Christ, whereas Tyre and Sidon and Sodom had not had this blessing. So thus, America, woe unto you, for you will be judged more harshly than Iran or Iraq or Pakistan or Afghanistan, for you have had the word of God in abundance. You have churches that proclaim the gospel truth, and we have rejected the truth of God. We have rejected that which is right. We have put our own humanism and our own desires ahead of what God would have. Luke 15 here says, "And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted to heaven, shalt be thrust down to hell." America, what of you? You have been exalted. You have been called the greatest nation on earth. And yet today, we reject the gospel message. Last week, we mentioned how Capernaum, a town on the northwest shore of the Sea of Galilee, had been the headquarters of Jesus' ministry. And yet, despite his striking words and teachings, the people did not repent. And there are today many who will not repent. Beginning at verse 16, once again, "He that heareth you heareth me, and he that despiseth you despiseth me. And he that despiseth me despiseth him that sent me." He that heareth you. May I say this? We thank God for those who are willing to hear the message. And yet how many are looking for an excuse not to hear the message? According to verse 1, Jesus was to appoint 70. And he sent them out in 35 teams of 2. And they have gone out, and Jesus tells them that if they don't hear you, it's not really you they're not hearing, it's me. You're to go and you're to tell them of Jesus. He sent them out with orders not to take extra money or provisions, to go with the assurance that people along the way would provide for them. And in the place they went that accepted them, that was good. But if they did not accept them, they were to go out and to shake the dust off their feet as a testimony against the fact that they had rejected the gospel. And a greater judgment would occur against them than Sodom, who had not the gospel. We note the phrase, "He that heareth you heareth me." He's talking to the 70. "He that despiseth you despiseth me, and he that sent me." They have despised God the Father, who has sent in his mercy the Son to die for our sins. We need to make sure that we are willing to listen to the message. We need to listen to the one that has been sent. Tonight I'll be speaking about Sodom and Gomorrah, and how God sent the angels in after Lot. And there were those who would not listen, just as there were those who will not listen today. But we all like a good report. You know, you go to the dentist and he says, "Well, there's nothing interesting in there," and he sends you home, you're excited. You go and you have a physical and the doctor says, "I can't find anything right, anything wrong." And he sends you home and you're excited. You that are in high school and you take a test, or you that are in college and you take an exam and you finish it and you finish with 100%, you're excited and you rejoice. You know that we can rejoice in many things. And verse 17 tells us, and the 70 returned. The 70 we just talked about in verse 1. The 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. They've come back. And they've returned with joy. Some of you have been away on vacation and you return with joy. Well, until you saw the snow. May I say this, Don and I, we had joy while we were away on vacation. And yet it was good to get back. She couldn't wait to see her dogs. They went crazy when they saw her. You know, they didn't hold it against her. They didn't say, hey, where you been? Why didn't you take us with you? They were glad to see her. The grandkids that we've seen so far, Brian's kids, they've been excited about seeing us. Two of them spent Friday night with us, Ben and Samantha. And Ben, when it was time to go home, said, no, I'm staying with you. You know, there's a joy. Folks, do you have a joy about coming to church? Do you have a joy about being here with God's people? Is there a joy in your heart? Or are you so removed from the Lord that you struggle with coming to the house of God? And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. The book of James says, resist the devil and he will flee. Resist. The problem is we don't resist. We give in too easily. See, their job was to declare the good news that the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. Our desire is to tell you the kingdom of God is here. That we are part of this, his kingdom when we come to know him as Savior. They had been sent with the power through Christ. And remember, it is through Christ to heal the sick. Jesus did not necessarily send them out to cast out demons, but their mission was so successful that upon their return, they declared that even the demons were subject to them through his name. May I say this, that if you ever go to battle with Satan, don't do it in your power, because you will lose every time. Even the archangel did not go in his own name, but he went in the power of Jesus Christ. Verse 18. And he, that being Jesus, said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. If you would, take your Bibles, turn to the book of Isaiah chapter 14. I ask the Lord for special protection today because we are going to be reading about Satan. And may I say this, that he and the demons don't like it when we criticize who he is, but he's a booger. And if you would, the familiar verses from Isaiah chapter 14, and a little bit we'll go to Ezekiel chapter 28. But if you would, Isaiah 14 verse 12, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend. We get into trouble most times, folks, when we put I in the front of a sentence. I want this and I want that. Selfishness leads to more problems than anything else. Selfishness. For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven and I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Satan had the same problem that Eve had, the same problem that those down through the years have had, the same problems we have. We get I in the wrong place. Ezekiel chapter 28, if you would, please. Ezekiel chapter 28, again, we're talking about Satan. And Satan was created as a beautiful being. And may I say this, that beauty can often lead to destruction. Beauty will lead to conceited people, to arrogance. And he became arrogant. He became conceited. Ezekiel 28, verse 12, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. See, Lucifer, you've been in the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardis, the topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, and the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. Lucifer, you had a special place. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. All they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. That should make us happy. Satan's destruction is sure, but while he still has breath, he is still coming against us. Jesus said, I beheld Satan fall. Jesus knew the truth about Satan, the initial truth, the abiding truth, the universal truth, truth from the standpoint to the government and authority of God. I beheld Satan fall. And may I say this, he hates you. He hates you. Remember this, Jesus did not die for the redemption of Satan or the fallen angels. He did not die so that they might be saved. He died so that you could be saved. And Satan hates that. He hates the fact that you are a sinner, but you can, by grace, come to know him as your Lord and Savior. Jesus, upon his death, as it were, entered the slave market of sin and paid the ransom price for your redemption, releasing us from the clutches of Satan. Verses 19 and 20, again, back in the book of Luke, chapter 10. Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and on scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Behold, I give you power. But more importantly, your names are written in heaven. We read from the book of Revelation chapter 20 a few weeks ago, and we will do it again this morning, if you would please. Revelation chapter 20, beginning at verse 11. We're going to find here that there are some books and there is a book. And as we said a couple of weeks ago, you want to make sure your names are in the book. And not in the books. Revelation chapter 20 verse 11 says, And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. Now, folks, everyone is going to stand before God. The great and the not so great. The rich and the not so rich. The healthy and the not so healthy. The good looking and those who aren't quite. All will stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And their works will send them to hell. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. There's a song, and I hope, Pastor Stephen, we sing it tonight. Is my name written there? Verse 1 says, Lord, I care not for riches, neither silver nor gold. I would make sure of heaven, I would enter the fold. In the book of thy kingdom with its pages so fair, tell me, Jesus, my Savior, is my name written there? Is my name written there on the page white and fair? In the book of thy kingdom is my name written there? Verse 2 says, Lord, my sins, they are many like the sands of the sea, but thy blood, O my Savior, is sufficient for me. For thy promise is written in bright letters that glow. Though thy sins be as scarlet, I will make them like snow. Is my name written there on the page white and fair? In the book of thy kingdom is my name written there? And then the final verse, verse 3. Oh, that beautiful city with its mansions of light, with its glorified beings in pure garments of white, where no evil thing cometh to despoil what is fair. Where the angels are watching, yes, my name's written there. Yes, my name's written there on the page white and fair in the book of thy kingdom. Yes, my name's written there. Is your name written there? We in America have no excuse. The gospel has been proclaimed. We find at Easter and at Christmas, as the world tries to hide the true meaning of it, it still gets out. Churches proclaim it. Invitations are given. Is your name written there? Religion will not save. Good works will not save. Only the blood of Jesus Christ saves. Have you come to Him and asked for forgiveness? Have you asked Him to be your Savior? Is your name written there? Shall we stand together? As we have a song of invitation, number 17, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Have you let Him have your way, or have you been like Satan who said, My way? Have we been like Cain who, when given the option to do right, did wrong because he wanted to do it his way? Or are you willing to do it the Lord's way? Dear Heavenly Father, we ask now that you would have your hand upon us. Lord, give us strength to do that which is right, to follow your way. And Lord, we ask now that you would bless, that the Spirit would move, that hearts could be saved, that angels could rejoice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.